I began one of my summer projects with one of these, and I didn't get very far. I had assumed responsibility for the ongoing project of removing the old shutter pivot from the front of Ingram Hall. And how hard could that be? It would involve removing three screws and then popping the plate off of the wall. Two simple steps. Well, to make that one simple step of popping the pivot off of the wall, followed by the seemingly impossible step of loosening the existing screws. Those screws had been put into place nearly 100 years ago and had been painted over a number of times. When I first approached, one of the very old paint-covered screws, I don't think I got even as far as getting the blade of the screwdriver to stay in the foot of the screw, much less to actually turn the things and make them free. I got no farther than a terrible sense of desperation. Finally, in that spirit of desperation, I went to an antique dealer in town whom I thought I could get some assistance from. I thought I would ask if I could get the name of the crew that he had hired to remove these pivots from the back side of Ingram. Perhaps they could do the front as well. He gave me the information that I sought, and he also gave me some experience advice. He said, why don't you try an impact driver? I was informed that such a device would shock the screws, loosen them, and enable a person to remove them. So a trip to the hardware store, and $3.99 later, I had me an impact driver. A little skeptical at first, but after getting a sense of how it worked and getting the feel for the device, I was delighted to discover that it actually worked. And I was reminded of the basic principle that certain jobs require certain tools, as unlikely as they might seem to us to be. Well, shortly thereafter, the CLC convention convened here in the gym, and on one of the evenings of the convention, Pastor Ullman was sharing some of his experiences with his missionary work in Nepal. And he was telling about some of the things that were going on there, and the course of doing so reminded the assembly of something very similar, that the hardest job in all the world requires a very special tool. One of the things that he was conveying and sharing was the way in which the current head pastor of a small group of Christians there came to faith, a man named Pastor J.B. Vitrakuti. And here's a part of Pastor Ullman's report. J.B. was brought to faith at a time when conversion to Christianity brought many challenges. About 20 years ago, J.B. picked up a tract that had been thrown into the gutter. There was a small gospel tract telling about Jesus. This was the first time in his life that he had heard anything about Jesus. The Holy Spirit soon worked faith in his heart, bringing a soul from darkness into light, turning a heart of stone into a heart of flesh, much harder than turning a few old screws. That's the hardest thing in the world. For human hearts are by nature completely stuck. Scripture describes all human hearts by nature as being dead on arrival in this world. We know, says Paul, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins in which we once walked. And since the human heart is completely dead at birth, 100% faithful, it requires nothing short of a resurrection to come to life and be saved. Everything spiritual in a human heart at birth has to be reversed, overturned, and raised up. But how? When it comes to bringing somebody to faith, our first inclination might be to grab the first thing that comes to mind. And the first thing that might come to mind in connection with sharing the gospel is our mind, our intellect. It's easy to slip into the thinking that to bring somebody else to faith, we probably have to reason them into it. This is going to be the result of our persuasive arguments. We might also sometimes slip into thinking that it'll take some dramatic earthly event to really turn somebody around spiritually. But when we think like this, we're reaching for the wrong tool. The tool that is needed to convert is the one that the Holy Spirit has specifically designed for creating faith, the gospel. In Romans 10, Paul simply says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The gospel is the divinely designed impact driver for the human heart. The message of Christ crucified for the sins of the world is the one which alone can turn a heart still stuck in the darkness of sin. It provides that jolt that's necessary to turn a heart of stone into a heart of flesh, of people of darkness into people of light, and the tool really couldn't be easier to use. It simply involves sharing the message we've been privileged to hear, telling others that wonderful proclamation made by angels to the shepherds on the hillside and women at the tomb: a Savior has been sent who is now victorious over sin and death and the grave. That is the message that reverses, overturns, and raises our natural spiritual condition. And it doesn't necessarily take much. Pastor J.B. in Nepal simply picked up a small little tract that spoke about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit used that to bring him to saving faith. The gospel is what replaces darkness with light, death with life, and blindness with sight. And it doesn't stop there. Once the gospel has freed us from our dead condition, it continues to sustain and strengthen the faith it has created. Paul told the Thessalonians about how the word of God is that which also effectively works in you who believe. The word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Once we've been brought to faith, it's that which sustains that faith, and how very much we need faith support in a life that is continually confronted with things that would threaten its existence. The world, after all, is forever trying to distract us from the way of life, so take a hold of the tool of God's word to remain on track. The devil is relentless in his desire to lead us into temptation. Take a hold of the word of the Lord, by which we are enabled to stay on course. Our own flesh is perpetually earthbound in its thinking and self-seeking. Take a hold of the word of the Lord, that marvelous tool which reminds us of the joy of serving others and of things above. This dual use of the gospel tool gives us needed direction as we start another school year. The core of any education at a Christian school, of course, must be the word of God, and the goal must be the further equipping of all participants in the use of that tremendous tool, for it does so very much. This new school year will be most productive if we see it and use it as an opportunity to grab all the more firmly a hold of this tool of God's Word, which can create faith in hearts that do not yet know Jesus, and strengthen and sustain faith in the hearts that do. The gospel, the two-in-one tool from the three-in-one God, given for the express purpose of building up and supporting and securing the one Christian church. May it be a year of faithful tooling, and thereby a year with considerable impact. We sing hymn 283.